Good morning. So, a lot of times, I go back through my old sermons to find inspiration, to find something that I could offer to you that would be beneficial to you. And I came across a sermon that I gave in 2017. And I want to give it again. I want to give it again because it's been kind of a rough year. It's been kind of a hard year. Things that just aren't normal have happened. We've had some crazy heat. We've had some crazy windstorms. We've had some crazy life adjustments. And I just kind of want to go over this lesson again. And it's a nursery rhyme that I want to remind us of. The nursery rhyme of Chicken Little. So if you will, I'll read this nursery rhyme to you. And we'll have some comments about it. Chicken Little likes to walk in the woods. She likes to look at trees. She likes to smell the flowers. Likes to listen to the birds singing. One day, while she was walking, an acorn falls from the tree and hits her on top of the little head. "My, oh my, the sky is falling. I must run and tell the lion about it," says Chicken Little, and begins to run. She runs and runs, and by, she meets the hen. "Where are you going?" asks the hen. "Oh, Henny Penny, the sky is falling, and I'm going to tell the lion all about it." "Well, how do you know the sky is falling?" asked Henny Penny. "It hit me on the head. So I know it must be true," says Chicken Little. "Well, let me go with you," says Henny Penny. They run and run and run and run. So the two run and run until they meet Ducky Lucky. "The sky is falling," says Henny Penny. "We are going to tell the lion all about it." "How do you know that?" asked Ducky Lucky. "It hit Chicken Little right in the head," said Henny Penny. "May I come with you?" asked Ducky Lucky. "Come," says Henny Penny. So all three of them run and run and run and run until they meet Foxy Loxy. "Well, where are you going?" says Foxy Loxy. "Well, the sky is falling, and we're going to tell a lion all about it," says Ducky Lucky. "Well, do you know where he lives?" asks the fox. "Well, I don't," says Chicken Little. "Well, I don't," says Henny Penny. "Well, I don't," says Ducky Lucky. "Well, I do," says Foxy Loxy. "Come with me, and I can show you the way." He walks on until he comes to his den. "Come right on in," says Foxy Loxy. And they all go in. But they never, never come out again. I think there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from the nursery rhyme of Chicken Little. And if you're like me, you grew up in the Word. You grew up in the church. And some of the first stories that you learned about was about how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. How God gave them salvation from the evil Pharaoh. How God provided the children of Israel protection in the wilderness. This lesson needs to be reviewed many times, not only as a child, but as a maturing Christian. Do you remember in Exodus 14? When God wanted Moses to camp in the spot that would be trapping the Israelites, Pharaoh's heart would once again be hardened. And he thought that he needed to have those slaves back. He thought that they were too stupid to be out on their own, and he had to go get them and kill them. And in verse 4 of chapter 14, God says he did this so the Egyptians would know who the Lord is. The Egyptians were pretty proud of themselves. They thought that they were on the same level as God. Pharaoh did, of course. So he thought that there was no reason for God. But when the Israelites saw Pharaoh's army coming, they became scared. They were just like Chicken Little. They thought the sky was falling. But let us cling to what Moses tells the Israelites next. Fear not, stand idle, and see the salvation of the Lord. The shock and awe preceded the children of Israel and struck fear in many kingdoms to come that they would encounter for years. But this is not the only time that the children of Israel faced problems. Just 45 days after crossing the Red Sea, the children again were scared. We think that this would be preposterous. If we saw the Red Sea part and we could walk through on dry ground and watch the Red Sea collapse onto Pharaoh's army, we think that we would always remember that God is our Savior and He will provide salvation and we should never be scared. We think that way, don't we? Well, we've read it. We know it's true. Do we sometimes become scared? Here, just 45 days after crossing the Red Sea, the children were again scared, thinking that it would be better to be in Egypt, where at least they had some food. Where at least they had food. That's all they were concerned about, was the food. But God provided them manna and quail. And soon after God gave them the manna and the quail, the children of Israel were scared again. They had no water. The Bible says that they began to chide with Moses. They began to war with him. Did God provide the children of Israel with water? Of course He did. God always knows what we need. Do you remember in Numbers 13 when Moses was told to go into the land and he sent spies? He sent 12 spies to the land of Canaan. And in my opinion, this is one of the best stories that shows it unnecessary to call that the sky is falling when God is on your side. The spies went, and ten men saw these giants and walled cities and vast armies, and they were scared and said, "Oh no, we don't want to take these guys on." But what did Joshua and Caleb say? Says in verses 8 and 9, "If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flowed with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and He, Lord, is with us. Fear them not." Fear them not. How scary must that have been to see these giants, vast armies, amazing walls. It must have been scary, but there were two who knew that the sky was not falling. Now I've taken a little bit of liberty in these stories to illustrate my point. At many points in these stories, the Bible says the people were complaining. They were grumbling. They were murmuring. Only the last example here about Joshua and Caleb doesn't mention that they were scared. But if you boil it down to the basics of why people complain, why people murmur, why these things happen, essentially it's because we're scared. We're used to our little box that we're living in. And change scares us. Consider being in these people's food for a minute. No water, no food, no country. You know, our power was out this summer for quite some time. We had no electricity. We had no air conditioning. We had no refrigeration. It was brutal. I found myself complaining an awful lot. And looking at what these people had endured, I really had nothing to complain about. These people were scared. I was scared that we weren't going to get power again. I was scared that we had lost so much beef. We had just bought a quarter of beef. Kind of scared about all that stuff. I was scared because I had no electricity to run my business. Because I needed my computer to send out work orders and invoices. How was I going to handle all these things? They put me completely out of my comfort zone. Let's get back to the children of Israel. They thought the sky was falling. Their perceived fear was overcoming their belief that God would take care of them. If Satan can get you to believe that the sky is falling, won't we all willingly go down the foxhole and never come back? Sometimes I wonder if the sky is falling in the church, in congregational worship. I can remember having discussions in the past of what would happen if. There have been countless lessons discussing about what if. But what good does it do for us to worry about what if? A while back, in 2017, Bev Brady gave me a quote about worrying. It says that worrying is the wages of things that never happen. I don't think I could have said that any better. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 tells us that worry is pointless. Jesus knows that when we worry, we obsess about it. And that obsession turns into fear. Jesus asks us in verse 30 of chapter 6, where is your faith? Jesus goes on to say, don't worry about having enough food. Don't worry about having the clothing. Why would you want to be like the heathen? Why do you want to worry like the people who don't know who God is? For they take pride and all these things are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of you. Live one day at a time. In the world, as we leave this building today, will we revert back to the sky is falling? Will I revert back to the sky is falling? I'm so overwhelmed. I have so much to get done. How will I ever get it taken care of? I have so many things working against me. Did I ever once think that maybe this is where God wants me? This is where God wants me to show a different example. To show that there is a better way. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul talks about running a race effectively. And the only way that we can run a race effectively is to get rid of our past sins, to get rid of those things that weigh us down. And a lot of times, us as humans, the thing that weighs us down is the worry. We're also called in the book of Peter to be a peculiar people. What does that mean to be a peculiar people? I think it means that when we face adversity, we remember that everything works out perfectly with God. We don't think about what can man do to save me. We rely upon what God will do to save me. There is no room in the kingdom of heaven for a Chicken Little. God gave us that example in Numbers when only 2 of the 10 spies came back with an optimistic report. I have to be optimistic because I know the ending and you know the ending. I know that God is coming again. You know it too. I know that I have participated in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And you have too. I know that Christ's blood continually cleanses me. And you know it too. I know Psalms 103 explains that we have the best benefits package ever. And these benefits are things that we should think on day and night. We just sung that song. God forgives us of our sins. God heals our disease. And I want to go one more step. He's given us a body that can heal itself. Just 2 weeks ago, I never would have guessed that my wife's body would have healed in the manner that it has. It shows me that there is a God. The Lord has redeemed my life from destruction. He has crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He gives me good things. He renews my spirit. I can't tell you how many times my spirit has been broken and I have laid prostrate on the floor, weeping in prayer. That he helps me. And almost instantly, I feel the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit sticks with me. I hope you have felt that too. Because it's one of the most powerful things that reminds me that there is a God. Our God is slow to anger. We know this because he has dealt with the children of Israel for so long. He would put up with so much stuff. He would get angry. But remember, he wasn't angry forever. God does not punish us according to our sins. God is our builder. He knows our frame. He knows what we need. And most of all, he remembers this covenant that he made with us. The covenant that we remembered during the Lord's Supper. What that blood represents. That new covenant. Our sins are forgiven. And that gives us hope for eternity. Brothers and sisters, I've got the job, best job ever. And so do you. It's letting our light shine It's being the salt of the earth. It's telling the good news. It's caring for one another. And the world sees that difference when we don't get down in the mire with them and think that the sky is falling. It is our opportunity to show them a better way. I believe that there are more people out there looking for another option besides the options that man and government give them. They are becoming cynical because man continues to let them down. They don't know who they should trust. This is where we come in. This is where we get to be that peculiar people. This is where we get to be the salt of the earth. This is where we get to reflect the light of the Lord. Time and time again, God has shown us that He will deliver us. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and 9, there's something here that I want us to pay attention to. It says that God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish. God is patient with us. And that's really important because He's more patient with me than I am with other people. And it's important for us to work on our patience, to be more patient with one another. God knows that our faith is weak. God had to show Gideon how many times? God had to show all men how many times? We would do good, we would fall down, He would show us again and again and again. He has patience for us because He really wants to see us all be saved. Is there anybody in this room that is tired of hearing that the sky is falling? Are you tired of being weighted down by all the negative energy in this world? If so, let us remember Jesus. Let us remember what He offers us. He offers us a peace that passes all understanding. All we have to do is put on the armor of God. All we have to do is test the spirits so that we don't get tossed from to and fro. Let us test those spirits so that we accidentally don't follow the fox down its hole to never return. Let us let that coal touch our lips. Let it take away our iniquities. Let us stand up and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Let us remember that Jesus did not want us to tuck and run. He wanted us to stand. He wanted us to show our light. It's time for us as Christians to show the world the difference between man and God. I believe that God is sending a revival right now for us. And it's up to us to get that started. It was really hard to go through what we went through 2 weeks ago. But the outpouring of cards, flowers, visits, food, it re-energized me. It reminded me how much this congregation actually does love me. And although it was very painful to watch her go through it and for her to endure it, I am excited to realize that the sky is no longer falling. I have a wonderful family right here who's going to build me up when I need it. I have a wonderful God who I can go to in prayer. And He's going to send His Holy Spirit upon me and comfort me. That concludes my thoughts for the day. I hope you take them with us. Or I hope that we take them with us throughout the week, throughout the rest of our lives, to remember that the sky is not falling. It's all not gloom and doom. We have a God that loves us. If you want to be a part of that family, if you want to be a part of that comfort, you want to be a part of this uplifting spirit that God provides, we're going to offer you that opportunity to come forward, to be baptized into this family, to be a part of God's family.